everyone, and welcome back to the Big Move Podcast. I am your host, Em, and I am so fired up to share today's guest, Simone De La Rue.
I think I've always been on the go and I've always taken risks and just thought, you know, just literally jumped and made the big move in life in general. I think one of my mantras is, you know, say yes to life.
She is the creator of Body by Simone, which Forbes named Hollywood's hottest workout empire, and a trainer on E! Network's Revenge Body with Khloe Kardashian. I loved my chat with Simone so much. She shares such wise and thoughtful tidbits about cultivating the right mindset around fitness, and also how to stay motivated right now and pivot. So here's more from Simone. Simone, hi. Welcome to the Big Move Podcast.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming on and being here with us today and taking time out of your schedule. We're so excited to chat with you today. So we're just literally going to dive right in. First and foremost, though, where in the world are you chatting with us from today?
Yeah, I'm actually in Palm Springs in sunny California. So even though it's winter here, I can see sunshine and palm trees. So life is good.
Honestly, the dream, especially during this lockdown pandemic period.
Yes, absolutely.
So Simone, do you mind just giving our audience like a very brief background on who you are?
Absolutely. I started off as a dancer. I did a lot of musicals. I did West End and Broadway and musicals in Australia where I grew up. And I was a professional dancer for 18 years. And then I moved into fitness and I created the workout Body by Simone. And I've had that now for 10 years. And I travel a lot. Well, I used to before the pandemic between, the UK and America. I was actually born in the UK. And then we moved to Australia when I was 2. I am now a mother of a 21-month-old son, Oscar, and I'm trying to juggle motherhood and, you know, being CEO of my own business and life, which is always challenging, but especially in these times of the pandemic, extra challenging.
Absolutely. And I know we were just chatting about your beautiful baby boy, by the way. I have a son myself and he's 10 months and I completely get it on the juggle, but you are making it look easy.
I was actually going to post something today, that idea of like Instagram versus reality. You know, it's like actually trying to work out in your pajamas with your baby jumping on top of you. And, you know, you have these great goals of doing an hour workout and you get 10 minutes in. So I think, you know, I was saying the other day in an interview, I have a newfound respect for working mums and just, yeah, the work-life balance and how that's possible. And if there even is a balance, I don't think there is a balance. I think it's just one day you show up and you're present, you know, as a mother, and then the next day you try and get some work done.
Absolutely. I concur. I couldn't agree more. There is no balance. And I do like the Instagram versus reality. And I think us moms, we need to see more of that too, to keep our own sanity.
Sanity, yeah.
So Simone, on this podcast, I love to hone in on our guests' quote, big moves. So whether it's moving to a new city or a new country or launching the brand, the business, the blog, you've obviously done all of those things, but I'd love to hone in on one of your geographical moves. I know you said you were born in the UK, but you grew up in Australia. You're now living in the US. Is there a move that stands out in your mind as being particularly challenging or just stands out for you?
Yeah, I mean, I think I've always been on the go and I've always taken risks and just thought, you know, just literally jumped and made the big move in life in general. I think one of my mantras is, you know, say yes to life. And I think when you're younger, you don't have as much fear. It's, you know, I remember being 18 and deciding that I wanted to you know, work on the West End in London and thinking, oh, that's easy. I'm just going to move to London and just pick up and go. And then after spending 5 years in London, I was like, I want to do Broadway. I'm just going to pick up and go. But I think as you get older, you know, fear creeps in, and I guess perhaps security and especially when you have a child, then you have to have a little bit more stability. It's much harder to do the big move. So I think I've probably had a few big moves, but probably focusing on maybe the one from London to the US. I think that was when I look back now, I'm glad that I did. But at the time, I was loving my life in London. I was, busy choreographing and helping direct different performances and plays. And then I did really take the risk to jump to the US. And like anything, when you're starting again and you're starting from the beginning, it's extremely challenging because you've put all of this time and energy into making contacts. And a lot of business is really not about what you know, but about who you know, the relationships that you make and the connections that you make. So moving to the US after having the success in the UK, I really felt like I was starting again. And of course, there's, some element of doubt and, why did I make that decision? What have I done? I shouldn't have done that. But I think like anything, you have to put in the hard work. You have to challenge yourself. You have to constantly be pushing yourself to grow. So, I think probably, 12 years ago, moving from the UK to the US was my biggest move to date.
Thank you for sharing that. That resonates so much with me too, from going from the US to the UK. I've been here for 4 years now. And as you said, it's a transitional period. You feel like you're starting from scratch. And all I can really offer someone is that it just takes time, but you're exactly right. And it makes so much sense. So Simone, can you tell us a little bit about your fitness methodology, Body by Simone, and then maybe what does a typical workout or class look like with you?
Yeah, I created it 10 years ago. Being a dancer and growing up in that world, you always have to take all forms of training, be that yoga, Pilates, strength training, and some form of cardio. And I had participated in all these areas throughout my whole life and kind of created a bit of a mixture of all of those things that I loved to do as a warm-up before I would go on stage for like my Broadway show. And it was just one of those things that, I kind of caught on and people were like, oh, what are you doing? I was like, well, this is, just what I do to keep in shape and what I do to take care of my body. And then I had, people approach and say, oh, well, dancers always have such great bodies. How do you get a dancer's body? And to me, it was like an aha moment because it was not like we were training to look a certain way. It was because of the activity that we were doing that our bodies looked that way. There's such strength when you're a dancer, that comes from the core and the limbs move outside of that. So I kind of had an aha moment in that I was like, oh, this is a desired physique that people want. And these are, different exercises that we do to take care of our bodies. Why not turn that into a workout? And then there was the other element of, I think, as women and myself included, we always avoid cardio, because it's like, oh, I don't want to go for a run. I don't want to, go for a cycle. I'll do some low impact. But for our heart health, we really need to take care of ourselves and make sure that we are doing our cardio, getting our heart rate up into a calorie burning state. And so it's like, how do I make cardio fun? And for me, I've always danced. And, I think with women at some point in their lives, not saying that everyone has to be a professional dancer, but at some point in your life, your mum probably dragged you along to a ballet class or you learned to dance for your school prom or for your dance in your wedding. And so I think women, there is that a love of dance, expression and the creativity. So I really wanted to combine, the strength work and the sculpting that I did to take care of my body through my years of being a professional dancer. And then the love and beauty and joy of dance and how it makes you feel and how dancing in a room for an hour is an incredible workout. And you feel like you're only, moving for 5 minutes. And so I married those two together and created the Body by Simone method.
I love the concept, and you're right. It's giving an effective workout, but then also keeping it light, keeping it entertaining. I was on your YouTube channel this morning looking for, I wanted like a 20-minute workout. I feel like as a busy mom at home, that's like the perfect amount of time where I know Parker's napping or, you know, I know I can fit it in. So I think I did, it was like one of your collaborations with Pop Sugar Fitness. It was like Taylor Swift's go-to workout or something. Do you think that there is like an ideal length for a workout?
You know, I think we used to get drummed into us that, oh, you have to do an hour, or if you really want to see a change in your body, you have to do 2 hours. And like, realistically, who has time to do that? You know, that's, I think it's just like setting such high expectations that it'll set you up for failure. And I know that, you know, I say to clients now, even if you can do 20 minutes, even if you can just do 10 minutes, you know, it's moving your body. It's getting your heart flowing. It's better than nothing. It's better than sitting on the couch. So, you know, the idea of getting that hour work in, yeah, that's great. And if you could do that a couple of times a week, but also if you supplement, you know, those off days of 10 to 20 minutes is still a wonderful workout. And so I have really tried to push to take the pressure off, you know, especially women, and just do what you can, get in what you can. And even if that means you're going to do a half hour workout, but you're going to do 10 minutes in the morning, 10 minutes at lunchtime, and 10 minutes in the evening, you know, then go for that.
I love hearing that. So thank you. So Simone, you've really positioned yourself as like one of the go-to Hollywood fitness experts and trainers out there. Is that something that just came about really naturally for you? Or do you think there's something that, you know, think that helped you stand out amongst some of the other trainers?
I always think this. I think it's like a marriage of luck, being in the right place at the right time, doing a great job and having, you know, word of mouth. I always say to young entrepreneurs who ask me, you know, how do I get started? And I think, you know, some of the most important things really are being kind, doing a good job, and then, you know, people will recommend you. There's nothing better for your business than word of mouth. So I think it's that. And also, you know, with celebrities, at the end of the day, they're just like anybody else. They're just like you and I. And just treating them like a normal human being, you know, and being their buddy and being there to you know, listen and help is really what they like. They don't want to have someone bow down to them, you know. So I think that was another part of it. I always just tried to be me. I always just tried to treat them like I would to any other client.
I love that.
They seem to respond to that. Yeah.
Yeah, that makes so much sense. And kindness, it goes a long way, my friends. Yeah. So I loved seeing you on Revenge Body. Admittedly, I love the Kardashians, but I especially love Khloe. I love her sense of humor. So I am curious if there was like a client on Revenge Body that maybe stands out in your mind or made an impact on you for any reason.
I think they all did, really. I think the first season, we really had no idea what we'd signed up to as trainers. And we didn't even know the name of the title of the show until we started filming. So it was one of those things where we were really just kind of, you know, flying by the seat of our pants or going into it blindly. So probably my first ever client on that show or participant, her name was Jill, and who ended up becoming my assistant afterwards. I think she came in with the approach of that she was used to, you know, lifting tires and pushing cars uphill. And here she comes in, and I'm, you know, 5'3", small little dainty ballerina who was going to give her a workout and help her lose, you know, 30 plus pounds. And she just didn't believe that she could do it, or that we could do it with my workout method. And so really watching, you know, over that 3 month period, her, first of all, learn to love to dance, you know, and also be open, and, you know, I won her over in the end, and she loved it, and she lost 33 pounds, and, you know, we really bonded. So I think that was a really great story. And I think a lot of people, you know, followed her journey after that. And just seeing that, you know, exercise is exercise, but a lot of it is really mindset. And I say this all the time. You know, a bicep curl is a bicep curl. I can teach you how to do a bicep curl, and someone down the road can teach you how to do a bicep curl. But unless you get into the mindset of that person and you dig deep and get into the trauma and whatever emotional blocks that are in the way, then, you know, you're not going to see any change or any transformation. But yeah, Jill's story was a good one because she definitely came in with lots of doubts and all of her walls up. And by the end of it, you know, she learned to love to dance, and she and I, you know, connected, and she saw incredible results.
Absolutely. And on the note of transformation, judging by some of your last few posts, I know in 2020, you have done a bit of a transformation and a rebrand yourself. Was there any particular reason for this, or what's kind of been going on for you?
Yeah. You know, I've had Body by Simone for 10 years. You know, I started the year last year with 4 studios. And during COVID, you know, I ended the year with 2 studios. You know, the massive overheads to have to pay in rent on, you know, brick and mortar physical spaces with nobody in them and no income coming in. Because in the US, my studios have been closed for 10 months. And so, you know, I wasn't left with any other choice than having to close 2 of them. I've still managed to hold on to 2 of them. But that was so deeply distressing to me. I was absolutely devastated. And I think I actually went through a bit of a stage of depression, because it's like everything I've worked so hard for 10 years and everything I've built was taken away from me, and not by my choice. It was taken away because, you know, COVID, this disease, has, you know, wiped out so many people. And especially in the US, I don't believe it was handled well. And, you know, so many small businesses have had to close. So I had a moment of, well, what am I going to do if I can't connect with people in a physical space like I used to? I have to evolve. I have to pivot. So, you know, I took everything online, and luckily I had my app, and I have my app still, and all of my trainers are teaching virtually. But for me, the reason I got into fitness in the first place was to help people. And I miss that one-on-one experience, and I miss connecting with people, and I miss just that interaction. So a big part of it for me was like, okay, I want to go into the, you know, digging much deeper into that, into the life coaching one-on-one, and where I can still feel like I'm doing acts of service and helping people, but it just looks different. It's not in a big classroom of, you know, 30 women dancing. It's now going to be one-on-one via Zoom. And another interesting thing that I just have learned over the past 10 years of working in fitness, and I kind of delved into it a little bit before, is that, you know, we have our physical weight, and as women, we have this ideal weight or this ideal physique that we want to have. But none of that can happen unless you shift and change your mindset. So like quick fix, you know, diets and quick fad workouts, they don't last. You know, it has to be set up as a lifestyle. It has to be set up as, you know, something that you enjoy, and setting realistic goals. And so a lot of the time when I was working with Hollywood's Elite, and working one-on-one with them, I realized that, you know, I was a therapist for so many years. You know, you really are going, you know, the physicality of moving really does shift something in people, and they end up sharing so much of their personal lives and so much of what's going on, that I realized that until you are fully happy with who you are inside and you love yourself and, you know, you practice that self-care, you're not going to have the transformation of the exterior physically that you want to have. So for me now, you know, I'll always be in fitness. I love fitness. It's what I know, movement and dance. But now I'm really making the connection between spiritual, emotional, and you know, and mental and physical. And especially this past year that we've had in the pandemic, I know my mental health has suffered, and I know everybody's has. And for me, exercise has always been my therapy. It's always been my way of fighting depression and anxiety. And I know now more than ever, everybody needs that. So it's really just bringing all of those things together and moving a little bit more into the holistic world, which I think we all desperately need right now.
Absolutely. And thank you so much for sharing that. I think you are a prime example of, right, sharing the challenges around this time, but you know, you have the foundation of your business. You're not starting from scratch. You're just, as you said, you're pivoting and you're transitioning. So I just feel like that'll really resonate with so many people, especially right now.
Yeah, I think you just have to, you know, you have to evolve. You know, there's a moment where I was like, I could just walk away from all of this. You know, because you do feel defeated. But it's like, no, I've fought my past 10 years for this and I will continue to, but it's just thinking about, I've got to think out of the box. Well, how do I still connect with people? How do I do that? It'll be interesting to see when the world opens back up again, you know, how many businesses have survived. I know so many of my friends in the fitness world have had to close their businesses for good. And that to me is just, I saw something on actually Sky News this morning saying how many, you know, the fitness industry and obviously the, you know, restaurants and, you know, they're the ones that have been hit the hardest because they've been closed. Like you cannot, you know, now would it be a great time to have a coffee shop, because that's the one thing that's open still here in the US is that you can go and get coffee, but you can't really do anything else. So, yeah, I think you have to evolve and you have to pivot. Pivot is my favorite word of 2021. It's just like, let's do it. How are we doing it today?
On the note of pivoting, as we know, it's a new year. It's 2021. What is your kind of view or point of view heading into the new year?
It's funny, isn't it? Because I remember thinking on New Year's Eve that, you know, everyone's like, 2021, it's a new year, that, you know, miraculously everything would change and we'd be back to normal because it clicked over to 2021. But I think, you know, what we need to do is take all the lessons that we learned in 2020. And I know for me, there were plenty. I was all about go, 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 do more, you know, create more, like nonstop. I literally was on a plane between LA, New York and London every month. And 2020 taught me that it is important to be still, that you can be creative and you can work from your own home, which I think, you know, is wonderful. I was able to spend time with my family, see my son every single day and watch him grow up. So it's like taking all of the, it's almost like, you know, we were told, the universe said, right, you're going in the wrong direction. Everybody needs to slow down, take note of what is important in life. And at the end of the day, truly, you know, all of these businesses and it's all fluff. It's all exterior. You know, what's really important is, you know, to love and be loved and you know, try and be happy in your own skin and your own moment. So I think taking all of that knowledge that we learned from such an extremely difficult year last year and applying that to this year, you know, and just once again, you know, when we go back to pivoting, try and think about ways now, you know, so many new businesses are going to be born now out of like having to think outside the box. So, you know, now's the time when we've got where we are forced to stay at home. Don't sit at home and eat pizza and drink, you know, casks of wine, although that is fun. Like use this time to be creative and use this time to think about, you know, a new business or, you know, new acts of service or new ways that you can, you know, contribute to helping others and really chasing that dream that you may have had and always put off because you're like, I don't have the time for that. I don't have the time for that. Right now we have a lot of time. So I would say take all the knowledge from 2020, the good and the bad, apply it to 2021. And yeah, use this time to be creative and go for it. I think another one of my mantras is don't operate from a place of fear. And I think we've been fear-mongered so much in the last year, especially around COVID. And, And I think we just have to really think about, you know, don't operate in fear. You know, you've got to be brave. You've got to make the big move. You know, you've got to take charge. I would say now's the time. Use that time that you have to make your move.
Love that. So Simone, do you have any top nutritional tips that you want to share with the audience to shift gears a little bit?
Yeah, so I'm doing Dry January, and I always try and, say to clients, you know, people come to me and they're like, oh, I need to drop weight. I don't feel healthy. I feel sluggish. And two of the first things I always say is like, eliminate alcohol and eliminate sugar. And they're actually the hardest ones to do. For me, sugar is the most challenging. I can give up alcohol and not think about it. But if I'm giving up sugar, I really have those cravings. So that's a challenging one. But I always say, you know, I think people come into the new year and they're like, right, I'm giving up alcohol, sugar, gluten, dairy, carbs, you know, and then they last 1 week and they fail miserably because they end up binging. So I think, like everything, you know, set realistic goals. And if you want to choose to eliminate something, choose one or two things. And I recommend, you know, choosing alcohol and sugar, and you'll be surprised at how much better you feel. Like, when you pump your body full of sugar and stimulants, when you eliminate those, you sleep like a baby. You don't have that crash where you're like, oh, I'll have to have more sugar because I need to be up again, you know. And then not having alcohol, that's a tough one, especially in COVID. You know, I was never a big drinker, but I found myself at one point drinking every night because it's like, I deserve this. I made it to the end of another day of COVID. I deserve this. But I've given up alcohol, and I'll be interested to see how long I can last on this. But I think it's really a great way to cleanse the body, cleanse the mind. It's a way to reset yourself, and then be able to, you know, cleanse your system, cleanse your gut, and then start again. I do believe that everything should be in moderation. So yeah, absolutely. You know, you can have something sweet, you can have alcohol, but I think a great way to start the year is to try and eliminate those things, have a bit of a cleanse, and reset your mind, reset your body, and then go for it.
That's great. And it's great to hear your feedback thus far on Dry January. You know, we're seeing a lot of posts from people on social media about it. So it's good to see that, you know, it is, as you said, it's cleansing your mind and it's only benefiting. So hopefully it'll give some listeners the push to keep it going if they're doing it. I am personally not, but I really give you so much credit for doing Dry January. Maybe we'll look into this for February for me. We'll see. So Simone, I have a few rapid fire questions for you that I fielded from the audience, which was so much fun. So just three quick questions for you. The first one, what is your top tip for busy moms out there to ensure that they find time to get their workout in?
Yeah, I think top tips. One, which is hard to do, but if your child gets up at 6:30, then set your alarm for 6. And that's your half hour window where you get to work out on your own with no interruptions. I try to do that, but I have to say it's very challenging because sometimes I do want to just stay in bed. Another option is I try and involve Oscar in my workouts, and he's so cute. He's 21 months, so he's got quite a few words, but he calls exercise size. So he says, size, mummy, size. So he will join in with me. I'll put a mat out next to me, and as I'm doing it, he'll join in. I mean, admittedly, he will end up sitting on my head and trying to jump on my belly, but it's such a wonderful thing for him to see me being active. You know, it's a great role model for him to see that this is what you should be doing every day. So either get up early or try and involve them in your workout.
Okay, that's the cutest thing I've ever heard. Size. Okay, number two, what do you feel makes a standout instructor?
When I'm choosing my instructors, I always say to them that I can teach them I can teach them my method, but what I'm looking for is star quality. And that is, and it's even hard to explain, but once you see it, you see it. And that's someone who's like shining from their soul. You can feel their love. To me, it's about, you know, what you are doing is you're doing an act of service. You're wanting to help people. So you have to be ego-free. But it's not necessarily being the best dancer. It's not necessarily having the best physique. It's about that willingness to want to help others. And that shine, that glow that just is contagious.
Okay, I love that. Number three, what is a go-to full body workout from Body by Simone and the easiest way for a listener to access it?
Well, I would say if you're a member of my app, we're constantly putting up live classes every day. And that's actually right now what I'm doing to motivate myself. So it's at, I think it's 7 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. A live class goes and it's 30 minutes and you can join in with myself or any of the trainers on the app. Or if not, I have lots of free content on YouTube. I think my Sweaty Betty workout that I did is still one of the highest viewed workouts of mine. And it's a great full body workout. So yeah, 10 minutes or 20 minutes or half an hour options you can get on my BBS app, or otherwise check out some of my free workouts on YouTube.
Okay, perfect. So Simone, as a last question or thought, I feel like we touched on this a little bit, but staying motivated, especially right now, feels especially challenging. And I know I read your recent blog post where you offered top tips about staying motivated. Are there one or two things that you think are like super, super crucial during this pandemic period?
Yeah, I think just doing something, you know, if that means, you know, you've got your 10 minute window to get out and get some fresh air, like run or walk as fast as you can, you know, grab your bicycle and go for a ride, like think about it more for your mental health than your physical health. There's some weird thing when you're thinking about it for your physical health, you're like, oh, I just feel lazy. I can't be bothered. But if you think about that feeling that you get afterwards, I always say this, focus on that feeling that you have after your workout, which is an instant mood booster. You know, it's instant, but you know, drive of adrenaline. Focus on that feeling and how it'll make you feel mentally. And then I think that will definitely motivate you, but just do something, even if it's 10 minutes.
Love that. I think that's the perfect place to end. Simone, thank you so much for coming on the show. Loved our chat today. But before you go, where can everybody follow you, keep up with you, find your workouts and all of that good stuff?
Yay. So I just changed my handle to my name. People are like, who is this? Because it's so bizarre. They only know me as Body by Simone. But I was like, Body by Simone is not a person. so you can follow me on all social channels on simonedelarue.official. And then here's my beautiful Oscar. He wants to join in. My app is Body by Simone in the App Store. All of my YouTube, everything is Simone Delarue.
Amazing. And thank you, Oscar, for making an appearance. Oh, my God.
Can you hear?
That's the cutest sound clip ever.
He wants to be involved. I think I've got like a little performer on my hands. He likes to be center of attention.
Oh, my gosh. Well, Oscar, we'll give you mom back. But Simone, thank you again so much for coming on.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me. And I hope that we can give each other a hug and actually dance together in person sometime in this year.
Yes, absolutely. Amazing. Thank you guys so much for listening. If you found value from this episode, please share with a friend. Tag us on Instagram at The Big Move Podcast. We always love to hear your feedback and we will catch you on the next episode.